face a little bit better, and I know the camera's moving this way as well. Let's get to the book of Titus this morning, the book of Titus, as we consider our moms and just, yes, a message for us to remember, maybe to be an encouragement to our moms this morning as well. I'm trying to look around. So we have one mom here today. She's under the fire. So she can handle it. I know Becky can handle it really well. There we go. That's great. I'm glad that she could be here today. Rejoice in that opportunity for just a handful, again, of our folks to be able to be together. Again, I'm glad so much that you can join us online. We were, as I've interacted with some folks through the week and so forth, we've rejoiced that God has provided for our church so that we can have these things. The transition over to doing everything online has been obviously we had a couple of small technical difficulties this morning, but has been really smooth, and we're grateful for that, that God, in his goodness to our church family, is one of the graces he gave us, is that we could have all this in place so that it wasn't an easy, or wasn't a difficult transition to make to that. So good to have you online, and I trust that God's word can be precious to our hearts this morning as well. So, Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus is a book that deals much with sound doctrine. In fact, we'll see these terms come up here today in our actual text. Paul was writing to Titus, who was helping churches in Crete to grow and be what they ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the testimony, the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on that island. And so the letter is written directly to Titus. There's some personal stuff going on, if I can put it that way, just some good encouragement. It's the typical, Pastor Caleb would probably understand this, when he gets into my office and I, with earnestness, tell him some things about ministry that I want him to know, all right? That's kind of what's going on with Paul here. Paul is, with earnestness, telling Titus, all right, this needs to happen. Please watch about these things. Watch over these things. Come on, Titus, you can do it. Those kinds of things. And so in the first chapter ends with Paul telling Titus to be careful as he helps churches get pastors, that the pastors are godly and good, because there's a lot of false doctrine. There's a culture in the island of Crete that is upside down, that's wicked. They are, as Paul described them, slow bellies, lazy people, lived very self-indulgently. Does that sound anything like America? Anyway, okay, there we go. And so Paul is passionate about making sure that there were godly leaders in the church. To me, what is both exciting and maybe somewhat astounding is as he transitions to chapter 2, he goes directly to what should be expected or what Christians should have in their lives as believers in the midst of a culture that is against God. And so verse 1 of chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So Titus, what comes out of your mouth should be all about what is fitting. That's the word become. In fact, the idea is suitable and even conspicuous. The idea that it should demonstrate in every way sound doctrine. And the word sound is not talking about what I hear in the sense of it's a beautiful sound. It's talking about not mixed with error. Paul's concern was that the church in churches in Crete would, in every form of their testimony, in their life and in their words, and Titus was the one that was relaying all these things, in their life and their words, that their life demonstrated a doctrine that was pure and unmixed with any error. You see, if we're honest in our lives, this is the point of struggle. I would say of our church family, yes, I see it in your hearts and lives. You want to follow the Lord. And yet, our struggle is that we have our old flesh. And so we can so easily mix in a little bit of error with the truth. And it tarnishes our testimony. We really take on the character of our culture and our world instead of taking on the character of Christ. And as the worldliness gets mixed in, our testimony is no longer conspicuous. It's not becoming sound doctrine. And so Titus here is challenging every class of people in the church, and he divides them up by age. Here we go. Sometimes there's a discussion, should we have Sunday school divided by age? Well, Paul divides them up by age here, okay? And there's appropriate character qualities for each age group. And then he divides them up by the sexes, all right? So we have the older men and then the young men. And then we have the older women and the young women. And there's mention of children here as well. And so he walks through these classifications, telling them that in their specific roles, and even in, if I can put it this way, in their age bracket, we expect, here's the quality that God sees in your life that you need to have in order to be godly, so that your life will be a conspicuous testimony of God's pure, unadulterated doctrine, so that our light will shine brightly in this world. To me, one of the most critical facts in all of this, if I can put it that way, the most critical age group is the age group we're going to talk about today. Because this age group, and specifically it's the moms, affects every other group that Paul lists here. They are the ones that help the aged men continue to be godly and have encouragement to be strong in their leadership. They're the ones that are married to the young men. They're bearing children, guiding the home, and they have amazing influence both in their home scenario and, as pointed out here in Titus, in our church setting. If it wasn't, and this is what I meant earlier when we were thanking the Lord for you ladies, if it wasn't for godly moms, we could not, I am not trying to exaggerate, we could not get the work of the ministry accomplished. They have direct, not indirect, influence on the spread of the gospel and the testimony of Christ around the world. It's that important. So let's read the passage, and then we'll just walk through these character qualities. I know that I'll get to preaching because God's called me to preach. Can I put it that way? But I hope it to be an encouragement to you today. Ladies that are moms with us, take these qualities and say, all right, are these a part of my life and where's maybe an area that I can grow? But men and older ladies in particular, let us rejoice when we see these character qualities in our moms that are around us. Maybe men and your own wife. This could be part of the thing that you say to your wife today, thank you for being, and fill in the blank of the seven character qualities that we talk about today. These are what God says are good qualities. Again, verse 1, let's start there. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And here are the things that become sound doctrine. That the aged men, those that have matured and are wise, that they be sober. By the way, this word sober is going to come up several times in these character qualities. We are to be thinking rightly about life, and we're to do what God has called us with all the utter duty that we can. We'll see that with the moms as well, all right? So that the aged men be sober, grave. That doesn't mean they can't laugh, but they know how to be serious and they can think through things well. Temperate, they're not selfish. Sound in faith, they know God's word well. They're sound as well in charity. They demonstrate biblical love and they're sound in long suffering and patience and endurance. They endure. Men, if I can make a quick application here. In this time where we're under a lot of stress and strain because of the pandemic, you should be living testimonies of endurance. To rightly handle this, to not be exaggerated in your response to it, but to be sober, to be temperate, but as well enduring. You're the one that's pulling us through, can I put it that way? All right. Anyways, verse 3, the aged women now. Likewise, so many characteristics like the men, that they be in behavior, that's the word demeanor, how they live their life, as becometh holiness. All right, their life is to be about holiness. Their whole demeanor becomes holiness, can I put it that way? Not false accusers, that's a very powerful term. Older ladies, you are not to be a slanderer. That would be really a basic form of the word. But this is a word built right off the word for devil. Older ladies, you are not to in any way be opposing the counsel of God. ladies, older ladies, you should be giving the counsel of God. That means you need to know God's word well. And you are going to be the ones that are going to be encouraged to teach the younger women. Don't teach them your thoughts. We have a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deceitful, slanderer, diabolos. May God help our older ladies to be people of the book, of the truth, and give it out to the young ladies in particular. So not false accusers, not given, not taken over, not becoming servant to much wine. But, and this is all one big word in the Greek language, but teachers of good things. They are to be teachers of the right. Why? Now here we come to the verses, two verses that we're going to look at today in particular. That they, the older ladies who are teachers of the right, may teach the young women to be sober. Now, that's a huge phrase in the English language, that they may teach the young women to be sober. But it's really a couple, just a couple words in the, again, in the original language. They are to be about teaching sound doctrine. They are, and the teach to be sober is all one word. So really what Paul is stressing here for the young women, the moms today, your life is to be utterly characterized by soberness. Now, the word is going to come up again as we walk down through this. But can I tell you, let me give the description of this overall theme. So this is the character, and then there are seven characteristics that help point to this character in the mother's life. A mom in her soberness is to hold to her duty that God has given her. Her life is to be filled with both discipline and faithfulness to being the godly mom. I'm so glad that this morning Brother Tim read from Proverbs 31. I would not be surprised that Paul had that very passage in mind as he used this word. Ladies, older ladies, teach soberness to the young ladies. May you help the young ladies to hold to their duty, not to their fleshly desires. Our culture teaches our young ladies that it's all about their looks. That's the way for them to get ahead in this culture and the time. And I'm glad again that Tim pointed out. God says it's all about their character and duty. What has God called them to do? Ladies, yes, care for yourself well. God has, in your very nature, made you beautiful and in your physical form. And yet, God wants you to hold to your duty well. Your life needs to be disciplined and faithful to being a godly lady. And so all of these character qualities will be things that will help you, goals that you could have in mind, to being that godly mom and lady that God has called you to be. That means that your life will be consumed with, will be a lot of diligence put into, a lot of effort put into being godly. So you may not be the best cook in the world, but if you're godly, that's okay. Yes, you may not be the best house cleaner in the world, but if you're godly, that's okay. You may not be the best secretary or the best nurse, but if you're godly, that's most important. Not that those other things are less important in the sense of not something that you shouldn't work at. No, you should. But the overall theme of your life must be soberness. The discipline to be like your dear Savior. Now, Paul is going to make a strong preaching point at the end of verse 5. We'll get there when we get there. But this is so important for the testimony of Jesus Christ to the world. That's why Paul is emphasizing it here. Again, why I say that these character qualities and this category of people, the younger women, are so critical to Christ's testimony in the world. So, let's go on then and walk through the passage. Verse 4, that they may teach the younger women to be sober. And then here, that's the overall theme. And then, to love their husbands. Again, all one word. God has called you to be loving your husbands, to love one's man would be a way to put it. And that man is to be your friend, your associate, your closest tie in this world, in your human relationships. It says in Proverbs 31 that a godly woman's husband safely trusts in her, that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ladies, you are to be, this is a part of your very nature, to be loving your husbands. May that character quality be easily seen. May your friend, ladies, your lady friends, never hear out of your mouth a dislove or a disloyalty to your husband. May everyone know that you are absolutely in love with your man, with the man God gave you. That will provide stability and security in your home that is essential to bringing up godly children. So love your husband. That means, yes, there will be a relationship that is a lot of communication. There will be mutual work for each other to help each other be godly and right in your roles. You will cherish and love to be with your husband. One of the joys I know of this time is we've had a lot of family time together. All right, we're stuck in the same house together. This should be, and ladies, let me encourage you, let this time, take advantage of it. You should be talking to your husband and interacting with your husband about, everything. Love your man and let your kids see it as well. And then he goes on, a very similar outgrowth characteristic, so to love their husbands and to love their children. So they are to be, and these are tied together uniquely in the original language, they are to be loving their husbands, and then they are to be loving their children. It's an outgrowth of that first quality. Moms, you are to be, similarly, like with your husband, a companion and an aid to your children. Yes, by nature, God has made children to come and run to their moms. They find the mom's love and compassion a place of peace and security. Yes, they like the dads around, but when the hurt comes, they want to run to mom. Let that relationship grow and blossom, mom. Don't neglect the work with your children. Help them to see your heart for the Lord. Communicate that well to them. You pass along to them the character of God, and you will be the right mom for those children. Paul describes the mother-child relationship in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 as, he uses the word cherish. It's to keep warm. Proverbs 31 talks about the mom, her children not being afraid of the snow because she has clothed them well. Moms, show tender care and patient teaching to your children. Use the rod and reproof in giving wisdom to your children. Don't forget that the child left to himself brings his mother to shame. You be engaged, utterly engaged in your children's lives. You're their only mom. Love them. In Proverbs 1:8 and in chapter 4, verse 3 as well, the mother's teaching is called the law of thy mother. It is the moral guidance that moms provide. Often in the home, the dad is the one that's away, and the mom's the one that's around, and that's a good thing. And moms, your role and responsibility is to provide that moral guidance. I am grateful in my own life for the moral guidance of a mom who was there and was willing to teach me the truth of God's word. Now, yes, there came a time, most of you know the size of my mom. And I, all right? So there came a time as I'm growing up, I no longer feared mom's punishment. Dad's I feared. I think I would still fear it today. I'm glad, Lord willing, that I've grown up enough I don't need a spanking anymore, all right? And yet, it was mom's moral guidance that helped my thinking. I remember very specific times, even in high school, where mom, I need your help. Would you, this is what I'm, what's going on in my life. Could you tell me what to do? I am so glad for that moral guidance. And God has called moms to do that. Love your children. That means time with them. Lots of time. That means in that time that you're directing their hearts spiritually, not simply playing games, not simply having fun. Paul goes on, verse 5. A godly mom is to be discreet. This is the same word as found in that compound word, teach, to be sober. It's the exact same word. Ladies, you are to be curbing your desires and impulses and demonstrating self-control and temperance in your life. We live in a self-indulgent world. How badly we need for moms to demonstrate we don't live for our impulses. I know that it can be a joke. I mean, we talk about ladies and chocolate. And it's like, there's their, you know, it's, well, nowadays it's ladies and Facebook. And, you know, you got to, it's like hours spent on social media. Wait a second. God has called you to curb those fleshly desires and let your life be tempered by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Show discipline. Show that you know how to work and you know when to work. Show that life is not just about play, but it's about life and ministry. It's about ministry and serving the Lord. And that takes temperance. You don't just kind of casually come to church and casually serve the Lord. Our flesh fights us all the time about that. Ladies, you've been called by God to demonstrate to your children and to live a life in front of them that's discreet, that's demonstrating self-control so that they will say, oh, that's how you do it. Again, I'll pick on my mom again today. I'll hear about it later probably, but that's okay, all right? One of the discreet things that I saw in my mom that has had lifelong influence. Usually when I woke up in the morning, mom was in her bedroom having her devotions. She was already up, dressed, ready to go for the day, and there she was kneeling beside the bed with her Bible open, praying. And you know, these furrows on my forehead, those come from my mom because she can't think without scouring. And I could see her in her bedroom, she's earnestly praying. That was the discipline that said, David, why don't you get into God's Word too? For mom to start her day with God and then to let it be lived out. Always the one to make sure that we're stopping and spending time in God's Word as a family. Yes, dad too. But mom was always making sure, providing for that. She was the one that we had to. We had to have meals together. You say, what's so important about meals together? Because that was the time that as you talk about life in the day, all of a sudden I catch a heartbeat. Mom and dad in ministry are concerned about these things. They're giving themselves to life and to ministry, I should say, and saying, this is important in our life. David, Michelle, you better follow through to catch their heartbeat. And then to talk about life, talk about school, what's going on, all those things. And mom made sure that we were gathered together. It was a house rule. We sit down, we're all sitting down. You got to stop what you're doing. Come eat supper right now. Even in the hecticness of our high school years and life was going on, and so sometimes supper, no, she would do her best to, we'd sit down breakfast together. When was the last time that happened in our homes? May God help us, and ladies, may you be temperate in your life to help your children know that God's most important. Goes on, to be discreet and to be chaste. It's everything that word chaste means. Ladies, as you are living out in your life this soberness, this duty and faithfulness to God, you are to be modest, pure from carnality, immaculate, it would be another way to put it, pure from every fault. I don't think Paul was concerned about the blemish on your cheek. He was concerned about the blemish of your heart. If you're going to be a good, godly mom, please, please be chaste. Demonstrate a humble, modest heart and life. utterly concerned about the sin that you struggle with. Moms, kids see, they observe. They know when maybe you've gotten a little angry. A mom that's chaste will be quick to say, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. That doesn't please the Lord. I've asked the Lord to forgive me. They will watch and observe your life as you take the steps of sanctification and grow in the Lord. Be chaste. It'll affect the next generation. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wives, while they behold, here it is, your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, whose beauty is that it's not the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but it's the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And here, this is the most important phrase, which is in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, can I beg of you today? Don't get hoodwinked by this world. The world tells you all the wrong things to pursue. All the wrong things that supposedly make you strong and good and beautiful. May you follow God's word today and be of great price to God, living a life that's chaste. One day you will give an account to the Lord. And as your pastor, I want you to be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been a good mom. You've been sober, discreet, chaste, a lover of your husband, a lover of your children. May God help you to do that. Keep on going. Keepers at home, all right, to discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Caring for the household affairs. This word here of keepers at home speaks both of what you do and where you do it. Proverbs 31 again says this in verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She uses the precious opportunities of every day with her family to make sure that all of their needs, especially spiritual needs, are met. And she eateth not the bread of idleness. She is laboring at being a good keeper at home. Paul says it in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that she guides the home. She's a good manager of the home. Oh, grateful for our moms that know how to keep the place running. Our homes would fall apart. Now I'll use a little illustration from my own life, but there were obviously a couple years where I had to kind of play mom and dad, and I knew full well I couldn't be mom. Maybe Abby has the joy of me understanding and knowing that I can't do her job. And I am so grateful for every moment that she manages the home well and handles the children right. The sound of music, you've heard the story, all right? And the whistle, all right, Captain Von Trapp. Oh, boy. I mean, that's how men handle things. It's like, come on, get your job done. All right? Elias. And moms, they know how to do the home so well. Keep it up, moms. Don't forsake your home. There will be often many things in life and in ministry that will call you away from your home. Can I ask you, don't forsake what God has asked of you. Be a good keeper at home. It means you need to be there. It means you need to work there. Yes, God has allowed for many opportunities, and I'm not speaking against the lady having a job at all. But what I am saying is, moms, you're needed in the home. And so give your heart and life to that. Your children will rise up and call you blessed. I remember mom working around her nursing jobs. God used mom to provide for some of our needs when dad was in college, Michelle and I were in grade school, and Dad's trying to get his training done to become a godly pastor. Mom's income was critical to just surviving, and yet she was so careful to protect. So when Michelle and I were home, Mom was there, or Dad was there, and making sure that orchestration was going on. I didn't grow up around babysitters, probably because I was too bad. I wore them out. I don't know. We had a few here and there, but it was Mom or Dad. And I'm so glad that Mom was the keeper at home. It provided security. It provided spiritual direction for me. I rise up and call my mom blessed today because she was a keeper at home. And then it goes on. And these character qualities are really almost tied together, again, in the original language. They kind of are a duet here. So she's the keeper at home, and she is good. She embodies the best character. All that we would uphold is godly and good. That's who she is. And it's in a form, and it comes out in a way that is both pleasant and honorable. She's kind. She's preeminently of God. That's the word character, good. Moms, you have the unique role of demonstrating the good character of God to your children. God has intended for the husband, the father in the home, to demonstrate God's power and strength, authority. But God wants you, ladies, in particular, yes, dad should be good, I understand. But you have unique giftedness, can I put it that way? To demonstrate the goodness of God to your children and help them to know and see what it's like and to imbibe it into their own heart and life. May God help you as a mom to demonstrate God's goodness. It doesn't mean you pamper your children. It means you give them what's best. It means you direct their steps in the ways of the Lord. And it means you love them balanced and well. Oh, may God help you. I'm reminded of what Paul said of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy, I don't doubt that you're a believer, that your faith, why? Because it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. What was it that made Timothy a godly young man? Paul directly pointed back to mom and grandmom. Oh, may God help our moms today to impact their children and grandchildren for the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms, your children leave the nest. Yes, you miss that. But please don't forsake the work to your children and to your grandchildren. Grandmoms, yes, in the good character of God, you continue to teach even your grandchildren. What a wonderful joy it is to have grandchildren, is it not? I'm a grandpa, obviously, and absolutely have a ball with the grandkids. One of my granddaughters calls me Grandpa Bozo. That's because I'm clowning around all the time with them, I suppose. Anyways, that's okay. I love it. But I don't want to, as well as a grandfather, to miss the opportunity to train them spiritually. And grandmas, you can do that in a way that even grandpa can't. Would you teach them the goodness of God? Like Lois and like Eunice, impact your family for the Lord Jesus Christ. Any home that's godly has a godly mom. Now, there needs to be a godly dad, but you take a godly mom out of the equation, and there's loss of the character of God in that home. Ladies, be faithful. Finally, the end of verse 5 there. She's obedient to her own husband. That is strong words in our culture and time, but it was not meant to be anything more than what God has ordained and organized. He's asking, ladies, arrange yourselves under the authority that God has placed in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. if I can maybe put it in a way that would help you grab this, and I realize, can I be honest with you? All of us are rebels by nature, right? Men and women, it doesn't matter. We are by nature of our human nature, because of the fall, because we've chosen to sin, we rebel. And so all of us struggle with authority in our life. All of us do. And men must learn to be put directly under the authority of God. In your jobs, men. In the church arrangement, men. God has asked you to be under spiritual or secular authority. Civil authority. Ladies, your demonstration of being humble and obedient to God's arrangement is specifically demonstrated in your relationship to your husband. God doesn't want you, and here's the phrase that I hope will help. He doesn't want you out of order. Out of your place. We put out of order signs on things that don't work right. Right? Something breaks down and the out of order sign comes up. Well, we don't often think of that out of order sign as it's not obeying authority. But the analogy is really helpful to understand. It doesn't function. It's not something's broken. Ladies, know that if you're not under the authority of your husband, that something's broken. And it will hurt and mar the testimony of Christ to your children and to your brothers and sisters in Christ, even in a local assembly. So, arrange yourself right. Subject yourself in a sweet, humble submission to your husband, letting him and encouraging him and helping him to be the lead. Why? Probably for one of the most important reasons is because you're a mom. And your children will watch and learn. Moms, little Henrietta and Herkimer, are watching how you interact with daddy. And if they see a mom that hears daddy say, sweetheart, we need to do this, and she doesn't, they're learning something. Unfortunately, it's not being submissive. So when little Herkimer defiantly says, no, mom, I won't, could it be that he's seen it demonstrated in your own life, and he's just living out what you've told him to do, what you've exemplified before him? Again, this is a bold statement, but I think a biblical statement. For the vast majority of children that grow up to be godly and obedient in their own lives, it's because mom has demonstrated that she's arranged herself in the proper order in the home. And demonstrated that wonderful love and submission to her husband that is biblical and right, knowing that she is not responsible for the spiritual leadership of the home and the direction of where the ultimate big picture things is. She's the manager. And so she willfully and cheerfully allows her husband to be the leader that God has called him to be, and it helps him to do it, encourages him along the way. Not with a discouraging word, but with a wonderful, loving comment to her husband. Now, all of these character qualities, and I must wrap up quickly. Thank you for your patience today. But why? Why should a mom live overall soberly, holding to her duty? Why should she love her husband and love her children and be discreet and chaste, a keeper of home, good, and a lover of her own husband or obedient to her own husband? Why? Thank you, Paul, for answering. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, you hold in the power of your character and in your life the very testimony of the word of God to the world. One commentator put it this way, and I was utterly moved by it. Maybe I've seen this before, but it moved me when I worked through this passage. The world will, to a great extent, judge the churches by the character which the gospel produces in the woman. And that's exactly what the scriptures say. I think through our own scenario and situation at this time in our country, and we're anxious to be free again. We're anxious to be done with sickness. And there is a tendency on men to lead and lead strong. And God has called them to do some of those things. And yet it is the lady in the home with her children, as the world observes and watches the church and sees a peace that passes understanding, sees a love and a joy and a care for her family that is both sacrificial and yet unafraid, helps her husband and the father of her children to be godly, and helps temper his thinking as they communicate and interact with one another, so that the husband makes wise and good choices, not strong and sometimes foolish choices. You see, the world knows, if I can be again blunt, the world knows what an ungodly woman is all about. We've got multiple names for them. And to see a woman that's a sinner become a saint and live out in the character of her life these qualities, the world says there's only one thing that happened there. There's only one explanation, and that has to be God. Ladies, would you be a sweet testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ this week and for the rest of your life? By living out these qualities, may you be known as being sober, well-disciplined in demonstrating godliness in your character and life today, tomorrow, for our church, for your family, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I feel in many ways inadequate in explaining these powerful truths. I trust that your word would be able to do its good work beyond my words. Thank you for the godly ladies that you've given us in our church family that surround us and strive with your help and by your power through obedience to your word to live out godly character. Would you prosper them in every way? Lord, may your word do its good work in the hearts and lives of maybe some specific moms today that see, oh, thank you, Lord, for this challenge and help me to live this out better. May we see demonstrated here in our own church family in particular, moms that love their husbands and love their children, moms that are discreet and chaste, moms that are keepers at home and good, moms that put themselves in the right rank, under the right authority, obedient to their husbands. And may you, Lord, use that amazing testimony, because that all those qualities are just supernatural. That's what they are. They're beyond the nature of a sinful woman. May you use those qualities to be a shining testimony to the world. Lord, would you allow our moms, because of their sweet testimony, maybe as they're out and about providing for their family this week at Walmart or another store, may someone notice and see, and may they have the opportunity to tell that someone about their dear Savior. Lord, would you help them this week as moms to be godly in their homes, directing their children well, our grandmothers, influencing their grandchildren for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, and please help them to do it well. Lord, may today be a day of great rejoicing. May you prosper our moms. May you prosper our ladies. Lord, help us to demonstrate the character of God in our life. Help our ladies to be good and to bring glory to your name because of it. Bless them. May we, in particular as men and husbands, boys and sons, may we honor our moms today in particular. Thank you for their influence in our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.